Hey everyone, this is a 372 pages we'll never get back bonus edition. This is Mike Reed's an extra cozy mystery, and I'm going to pitch it in a way to Connor Listoka, who is here with me as well. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Mike. Is it exceptionally cozier than the other mysteries, or is it just an extra cozy mystery?
Oh, no, it's not cozier. You'll find out it's even less cozy. But very much bills itself as a cozy mystery, however.
Okay. All right. We're seeing the wide swath of interpretation that authors have interpreted this genre as over these past couple books.
Yeah, and maybe this will put it into, if it's at all blurry for you about what we're talking about, maybe the title should tighten things up for you and make it all clear. This is called Christmas in the Bayou,
ooh,
parentheses, Misfortune World, colon, Louisiana Cozy Christmas, close parentheses. That appears above every page that I read.
So, Misfortune World, Louisiana Cozy Christmas.
Christmas in the Bayou.
Okay. I mean, our episode titles for each thing we release have gotten pretty unwieldy at this point.
Sure.
So we're not one to talk, but that doesn't, there's a lot going on there.
All right. So before I read it, I did a little, essentially I was looking for something short so that I could read it. And as it turns out, it was the same author that you read. So I thought, well, that's fortunate. So then at least you can kind of, you'll be able to understand.
Yes. So it was Riley Blake?
Riley Blake.
Okay, great.
Yes, which is a pseudonym for someone who writes a ton of it, obviously, like all of them.
Yes.
It's a bizarre thing. So just looking it up, I just needed to know, what is this thing about? I should get it out of the way right away. There's a description on this book that says, blah, 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 cozy, 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 until a school shooting does everything. We talked about this before.
Yes, this was a one we debated how that could possibly work into a cozy mystery.
And so lest anyone think, I just want to get it out of the way, there isn't one. That is a misdirect. Why they wanted to put that on here.
I'm tempted to say, aw, in disappointment.
Yes. But. So I would obviously never make light of that. And that is not what it is about. So fear not.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. If anyone was like, what are you doing, you monster? That's not what. So why they put that on there, I don't have any idea.
When you look at the cover of this, I'm looking at it now. If that did take place, it would be, it looks like a character from Arthur or something, or the Magic School Bus is on there smiling as she places library books on a book cart next to a Christmas tree. So if there was, you know, the most horrible tragedy that you could imagine happening in the book, that would be a little misdirection.
And it would also be quite a turnaround to be able to fit that into a cozy mystery. But I found out, before I read it, I found out a shocking bit of information that I'm going to save for everyone else until the end of this.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, so it's something that I knew going in, but I'll save it till the end.
Okay.
So to kick things off, it really is, and I think this happened with you, too, like, it just in media res. I mean, we're in the middle of, I have no idea what's going on, and the chapter just starts.
Okay.
It's only 60 pages, by the way. So the first chapter, here are the things and characters that we get in, I mean, they're three short pages, like short pages.
Sure.
Here's what gets thrown at you. Characters just start talking and you get their names only through context. We get Fortune, someone named Ida Bell, someone named Gertie. We get the Sinful Ladies Society, okay, someone named Miss Perfect, someone named Sandy Sue, someone named Director Morrow. Someone named Mayor Celia Arnaud.
Oh, my God.
Someone named Francine. A group called God's Wives. Something called Paregoric Cough Syrup. The drug dealer Don Juan. The CIA is involved. Someone named Charlene. And someone named Deputy Charming.
Wow.
So that's chapter one.
Wow. And this is book one. It says that.
Yeah. Well, okay. The surprise relates to that.
Okay.
So. But it is book one.
That is nuts. I mean, you know, they takes the quilter and ups the ante, I guess.
It ups the ante so far. At least the quilter would describe, like, walking in and talking to the cat and
the
handsome husband. You're like, at least I have a place. I'm placed in space somewhere. This is just dialogue just starts.
Robert just Altman, like, on the page.
Yes. The camera's going into the middle of a party of a bunch of people talking, and that's what you're supposed to... So the plot seems to be that this fortune person, Miss Fortune, which, by the way, I mean, it sounds like an 80s song by, you know, the Jay Giles Band or something. Yes. Like, Little Miss, I found Little Miss Fortune, you know, something. Anyway, she assumes someone's identity, I think, in a small town after retiring from being a high-level CIA assassin.
Okay, maybe? Sure. Yeah, that's, I mean, so witness protection type of thing?
I think... But it does never made clear, not even through the whole book.
Okay.
And she has this sassy friends, and it seems like she's just kind of inherited them from, like, they just somehow they agreed to be her friends, even though they know she's not the person, you know, obviously the identity she took.
Oh, so sort of a Seymour Skinner, Armin Tanzarian type of thing, where he just came back from the war and his mom just was like, knew he wasn't her son, but she agreed to just roll with it.
I think that's what it is, but we'll as we go on, it might change. So that's what I took from chapter one.
High level stuff for a book that looks like this one does.
And what I've gathered is that the mayor wants these people to as some sort of community outreach. They want this person to become a librarian. So that's her way of getting the library character into the cozy thing or something.
She moved to town, assumed someone's identity, and they were like, hey, was the last person also a librarian, or do they just need a librarian? So they
I think it's just, it's not explained.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Not a high level appreciation of the responsibilities of a librarian to have someone just come to town and be like, hey, you can do this.
Yeah. Well, also what happens in this book just rocks my world as far as what I thought librarians were about. So in Chapter two, we get a new character, Deputy Carter LeBlanc.
Nice.
And our main character, who is her POV, introduces herself as Sandy Sue Morrow.
Miss Fortune.
So we already had someone named Deputy Director Morrow. So I don't get the game. I don't know what the joke is. But this person named Sandy Sue Morrow gets trained in being a library volunteer from some person named Charlene.
She's volunteering at the library.
She's forced to by the mayor for some reason.
Like a community service type of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And she reluctantly agrees with her sassy friend sort of saying, I'd love to see that kind of stuff.
Okay. So sassiness is the running theme through all of these. These are all broads of a certain age. Like,
well, it's kind of like, you know, like I was just telling you, I was listening to old... people know Richard Cheese. He did a character way back. He would do Bob Hope and call into K-Rock. And for reasons I don't want to explain, I was listening to a little bit of that. And it's the same kind of his sassiness, Bob Hope, as a 94-year-old man, would call in and be like, it reminds me of the time Dorothy L'Amour got stuck in the overhead in my train berth, you know, and would end it with an even more obscure reference. Uh-huh. And obviously K-Rock. I don't know what you're talking about, Bob. That's what this book is like. Like, oh, that was supposed to be saucy.
Okay,
Because it happens, like, no human talks like this in the situations they're in. So you have to just assume.
Yeah, it's sort of like watching a movie in a different language where you just, they say something and the way they react, the context clues indicate that something, quote-unquote, funny was said, but...
Yes.
You're left to be scared. Yeah, the other book by Riley Blake was very similar in terms of they made, I can't remember the specifics, but they said something that I was like, I think that's supposed to be a joke. Like,
mm-hmm. And I've got a few examples.
Okay,
one,
great.
One is coming up here. But before I get to that example, here's her view of the kids. She calls the kids heathens, rascals, hyperactive, looking at them as her vision of an unbalanced hell. And she just hates the children.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. She describes her friends. She uses her friends as part of her cover, I guess. And they go to a Baptist church to cover. And that leads to this bizarre thing that I did not get. Not only did we stand out as the current pudding war champions, but I never worried about finding an out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner sign on a confessional booth.
Oh, my God. That is, that's like, sassy septuagenarian Dennis Miller or something.
Exactly.
What on earth? Out for pudding? Or no, pudding champs?
We were the current pudding war champions. Maybe someone from the Bayou can tell me. Maybe there are pudding war champions. I don't know. I'm just going to advance the plot, because this all happens, it just tumbles over one another. You're left trying to figure out what's going on.
Great.
Plot-wise, it seems the deputy, Carter, is evidently banging Charlene, whoever that is. She's not actually in the story. She was there for a minute.
Great.
He's watching while she teaches a class. So I guess librarians teach classes in this place called Sinful Louisiana.
Oh, nice. Sure. Okay. Is she a school librarian?
She's a school librarian.
Okay.
So I didn't know that they taught classes. I thought they hung out in the library and did stuff. But whatever. She has a full boat of classes with these kids. So the deputy who's just watching her teach tells her to tell them a story just to make it up. And she replies with this: "It's pre-coffee, and unless you have a keg of caffeine nearby, storytelling probably won't happen."
Sass?
I think it's supposed to be cynical and sassy. But, I mean, seriously, the writing is so terribly awfully bad. I can't even tell what's going on or who's supposed to be what.
That's sort of, this level and this woman, I think, are, like we commented in the last one, it looks like that greeting card lady Maxine, I think.
Yes.
That does sound like a don't talk to me until I've had my coffee kind of coffee mug. If translated into a couple different languages, then translated back to English.
Yeah. I mean, I got snagged on keg of caffeine. So you just want straight caffeine, but you want a keg of it. I don't know.
Nice.
So that's chapter four. We're getting to the end here, believe it or not. So it is confirmed that Deputy Charming, who I assume was supposed to be a backhanded slam, is Deputy Carter LeBlanc. That was never made clear in any way. I just sort of figured it out. They have some sort of unmentioned rivalry.
And the librarian?
And the substitute librarian.
Sure. Well, she's come to town as a big city ex-CIA agent, so he probably feels...
But he doesn't know that. She's an ex-beauty queen, is what she said.
Oh, my... You buried the lead there.
Sorry. Well, it doesn't
that's
really...
her cover.
That's her cover.
Hmm.
But I don't know. Anyway, so the deputy, to her, talking about the kids in her class... library, however this in hell this is working. Here's the bizarre exchange. "I waved at Gertie and Ida Bell as they entered with two shopping bags. Don't worry, they'll honor their commitments. Otherwise, they'll owe me their servings of banana pudding next Sunday. Apparently, they love Francine's desserts as much as I do." Have no idea who Francine is. "Most of these students aren't Baptist, Fortune." Gertie scanned the room. "In fact, that kid over there with the green bubble the size of his face, he's Celia's neighbor."
It's like listening to Bill Cosby talking about old Weird Harold or something like. "And then there was the kid with the green bubble. He was Celia's neighbor."
So it's just that one made me laugh so hard because I don't know who Celia is. What does the green bubble? Is that supposed to be that he's got like a snot bubble or something?
Oh, God.
And like kids are just gross little monsters with shit on their face.
But then also the stereotype about Southern Baptists liking pudding, is that another just like
banana pudding? I guess so.
They serve it after church services.
I guess. And I so don't know.
They have pudding offs, and that's how they earned the pudding champ title.
Yeah.
So yeah, next time we're down south in for Nashville, we'll just have to casually bring that up to people and assume, give them a knowing wink and a elbow in the ribs.
Right. You really know the South. So I'll just rephrase here. We're in chapter five again, almost done. So all of the adults.
Where's the mystery?
Well, it's coming right now.
Okay.
Somehow, all of the adults are in this class that is being taught by the librarian, who's actually a retired CIA assassin who is filling in for Charlene. But the adults present are the deputy, Gertie, Ida Bell, and Sandy Sue Morrow.
The pudding champ, sure.
And a character trait, Misfortune, a.k.a. Sandy Sue Morrow, rolls her eyes a lot.
God.
So that's a good...
Yeah, that's a good crutch.
So, end of the chapter, two men dressed in black stroll down the hallway. She and the deputy notice, and she says, like an action line or something, I didn't write it down exactly, but you picked the wrong day to mess with this school, or something like that.
Oh, dear. So, this is where we're tensing up, if we're taking the blurb at its word.
Yeah, and there was a kind of, I skipped over, but there was an impenetrable sort of, I don't know, there was a fight or something between a bully and another kid, and our hero, like, told the other kid to go bug the bully or I don't know, it was, it didn't make any sense, so I skipped over it. Turns out that was a huge plot point. The kid is, like, the son of a mafia or something.
Okay.
Anyway, that's why they're there. So, I guess. But anyway, here's the kind of humor that you get. Gertie and Ida Bell would return to the library soon. That is, if they didn't bump into the strangers before they made it back. While my friends looked like two old maids who could barely swat at a fly, they were actually former covert operatives and had gained military training during the Vietnam War. I was being far too kind. They probably served during the Civil War, too.
Nice. That's sassy.
So I didn't know they were covert operatives, so I guess they came with her to this town? I don't know.
Yeah, everyone just has a secret, extremely secret covert backstory.
Yes, and she calls them the Geritol Mafia, I think.
Nice. It is pretty funny just that. To skip all the way back to the Civil War is what you're, because if you're taking it, if they're in the bayou down here, that means they would have been, you know, Confederate soldiers. Yes,
that's true.
quite the twist.
Anyway, here's an example of the prose that we get. We're under attack. One of the taller students shoved his way through the line, trying to make it to the back hallway before the others.
Oh, dear.
Squeals and cries for help filled the air. Oh, the kids formed a human wall as they moved together, weeping in sheer terror. Christmas in the Bayou.
Wow. If you just read that as the excerpt that was on the cover, on the Kindle thing compared to that cover, that's amazing.
So the kids are quickly put out of danger. That was the only, but I just thought that was, wow. That's not cozy in the least.
Screaming like the people watching the Santa parade in Murdering Christmas River. Is there a firearm discharged?
Oh, well, I'm getting to that right now.
Sorry.
So the adults just kind of the kids are like shunted off somewhere and they're safe. Sure. There's just some talk of them, you know, that now they're kind of. They're out of the way.
And it was just because they saw these men in black going down the hallway.
I guess, yeah. I don't think that they fired or... I don't know. Right. It's just all dialogue with sassiness, so it's hard to... Yeah. But anyway, here's another line. And this is... They're all just holed up together. All the adults are together. And somehow the mafia is like stalking them, slowly coming down the hall towards them, I think.
Okay.
Carter, let me... Before Carter could stop her, Gertie jumped in front of him and kicked open the swinging door. Then she whipped out an automatic and fired into the hallway, squinting at the end of her piece as the weapon jammed. There's your answer. No brats for you today. You won't be getting the Balbarino kid or any other child for that matter. Now go. Next time I'll fire. I'll shoot to wound, fire to kill. Christmas in the Bayou.
Oh, my God. So she did. She shot a gun down the hallway of a school.
She did, but just at the kids were all somewhere else.
Yeah. So. Still, that's, you know, more know, than you'd expect from something from, again, from this book cover.
Wow. And here's a crack.
So who was that, Gertie?
That was Gertie.
Okay.
Who'd served in Vietnam. Here's a crack from one of her elderly friends. I don't think I want to stand near either of you. Well, too late for that. That girdle has already been sold.
Wow.
So there you go.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, she looked like she's coming down here trying to wear a girdle that had already been sold. Yeah. When a mule dug himself a ditch, he ain't going to get out unless he's got a plow that can trowel the bayou. Folksy wisdom.
Bob Hope. Hedy Youngman turned to me. I said, too late for that. That girdle has already been sold.
Amazing.
I don't know. Yeah. Chapter 8, I don't have anything. Just kind of a lot of sauciness as they, you know, talk about their plans or something.
Jeez. Yeah, it's just overdosing chapter 9, on the sauciness and sassiness.
Yeah. We're almost to the end here. Chapter 9, the kids start singing. So obviously they're, I mean, across, way across somewhere. Maybe they're in a gym or something. I don't know. and this is the joke during the middle of that. Their voices confirmed we weren't housing the next Blue 5, or was it Maroon 2?
God.
I knew that one would really dig.
Yeah, that nearly breakfast nearly came back up. So the kids just in there, like face down, singing "Near My God to Thee."
They're just like singing Christmas carols. I think the kids aren't troubled by anything at all.
Okay,
I think that's supposed to be the point. But in the middle of it,
I thought that was going to be an old person joke until it until the second part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. The next. They were. You knew they weren't the next Ray Conniff singers.
And then she's trying to get her saucy, the Geritol Mafia, something from them. And she said, dragging intelligence from a dolphin while learning to swim would have been easier than this.
I mean, ChatGPT needs to be retrained on its metaphors here. It's dragging intelligence from a dolphin.
I don't know.
All right. I mean, sure, that's a way to obtain intelligence.
Okay, so I guess the mob is there for fortune is like the twist. Like, no, it's really me. And someone named Harrison is somehow related, which might be her son or something. It's I'm telling you, it's impenetrable.
Based on the first chapter amount of characters, I would be, have a hard time tracking this one without a detective yarn wall.
And then at the end of the chapter, the mobsters advance. And then at the beginning of chapter 10, which is the last chapter, we learn that Fortune has been shot, and there's kind of a description of...
You learn that?
Well, but listen. So she's going like, wow, you never think you're going to take it this way. Like, everybody wants to be the hero and be, be till the end. And then she, feels her midsection like, wait, what? I haven't been shot. It turns out that Ida Bell had just hit her accidentally with the butt of her shotgun.
In what setting?
She knocked her over in the library.
Oh, she had a shotgun in the library.
Well, Ida Bell did.
And so she's doing the whole, it's fading fast. The walls are closing in on me.
Go ahead without me.
And then the other one standing above her, like snapping her gum, being like, I never fired the trigger.
Yes.
And then she says, I haven't had any coffee yet, so you can understand why I'd make that make that mistake.
What does she say? She says something like, you're going to get that, I think. Let me see. I'm trying to look for it right here.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Someone hit you in the back of the head when she whipped her shotgun around, Carter said. Ida Bell, she shrugged. It happens.
I mean, we laugh, but that you could imagine... the two Chris's, Pratt and Evans, quipping that to each other in the, Marvel 17 Citizens on Patrol type of movie.
Yes, that's true. And then it's just over.
What did they resolve?
I don't know.
was it Christmas time, however?
She made the kids decorate a Christmas tree.
There you go. I think that's... I guess they opened presents in her other book, so...
And then she reluctantly, gives Deputy LeBlanc, Deputy Worthless or whatever he was called, a peck on the cheek or something. Mm-hmm. So apparently their rivalry was supposed to be, a saucy will-they-won't-they kind of thing. And I did not... That does not come through at all. And it's,
wow.
But that's how it ends. And it's just like, well, we sure did have a... Oh, here it is. She kisses him and he goes, is that all you got? Carter called out as I walked away. Consider it your Christmas present. I turned around with my arms spread wide. It's more than I gave anyone else this year. I disagree. He pointed at the streets now filled with children, reuniting with their parents. You help bring these families back together again.
What?
With a lot of help, I said, grinning at the handsome deputy. Never mentioned that he was handsome. Merry Christmas, Carter. Merry Christmas, Fortune.
That's how it ends?
The end.
How did she bring the families back together? There was this was a standard school day, correct?
I think what she did was she said she would give herself up. And somehow...
But the families were not estranged, you know? It's not like there was no... In order to bring someone back together, there has to be like the dad who's gone, you know, on a business trip or... you know, the college student who's drifted apart from the family who then comes back.
I think the kids were just in lockdown and that was reuniting them was just like, I don't know, somehow getting the two gangsters who were actually there for her somehow got them arrested. And when I say somehow got them, there's no action of that.
Okay.
It's just they somehow got arrested.
She fired a gun down a hallway. The other one got hit with the butt of a shotgun. Therefore, arrest and problem solved.
I guess. I don't know. Wow. If I could, yeah. I mean, maybe I should just do a dramatic reading of the whole book and you can, right. It would only be like an hour. You could judge for yourself if I've described this correctly.
I have no doubts that is, I mean, based on her other book, how quickly things escalated and how confusing the like major action scene of that bus crash was, that would be it all seems to track.
And she also talks about her nine a lot, I'm assuming meaning her 9mm. And then at this point, after she gets knocked out, Gertie rushed us. I don't know what that means. She handed off my slingshot bag. Never leave home without it. You could have brought it by the house later. You may need it before then, she said, a twinkle in her eye. Never know when you might run into trouble. So this is, I think, during an active firefight. I'm not really sure.
And does that mean slingshot bag as a gun holster or an actual slingshot? Or is it just a bag that you wear like as a messenger bag?
I think it is her like weapon bag, I think. So... So why Gertie had it and brought it to school before, I don't know.
So again, the quipping during this thing is not, we're not going to criticize that when that's how like 90% of our most profitable blockbuster movies are these days.
I guess, but I this thing is just like a thicket of dialogue. And so there's no setting anywhere. I think she really imagines that. Well, it's better the audience just puts that in their own head, you know?
Yeah,
she imagined it. But I need to at least know time, place, who, what, where, you know, just answer a few questions. But there's nothing. It's just like...
Yeah, it's like, you've been in a school, they have a library, you understand how it works. You know how hallways work.
Yeah, and I guess if you, you know, listened to a movie with no... well, you wouldn't even have the sound cues, but, you know, just the dialogue of a movie and we're like, what is this about? That's what this is like. What is this book about? You're going to have to guess from just dialogue. And it's like, okay, I'll do my best to try to picture this, but I could not.
Yeah, I tried to read the newest Cormac McCarthy book, and which when he presents dialogue, it's without even quotation marks. I guess that's one of his tics, and I didn't get too far in that one. But it was very similar to that, just like uninterrupted dialogues. You're not sure who's talking or what's going on, and... you know, that's brilliant versus this being, you know, a trash Kindle $2.99 book. But
that's too bad. Why do authors not want you to have a way into their?
Hey, she respects the audience's intelligence and imagination in terms of making it work. If that's too hard for us, that's on us. I'm looking at the page. I see that this is still book one of one in this series, so it hasn't been expanded upon. But it does have 111 reviews. Four stars total.
Yeah, people love it. And here's the reveal. I will get to my... I promised a reveal. This is what I read before it. This was a review of it. The number one negative review, I think.
Okay.
Not sure what I expected, but this was not a very good story. I've read the Miss Fortune series, and while I understand this was written by someone other than the original author of the series... It just wasn't a very good story.
Wow.
So she took over something.
She bought the business.
When Dear Abby or whatever gave it to her daughter, and it was just still called Dear Abby.
Yeah, like a legacy newspaper comic strip.
But this guy finishes off with, "It is violent. School shootings just aren't something to joke about." The characters were so much more violent than the real series. Real series.
Wow.
And I truly disliked it very much. And it didn't have much to do with Christmas except for the tree in the school library. I wish I hadn't read it at all. Very disappointing.
So. Wow. Wow. I mean, you know, every point she made is something that we've addressed here.
Yes. So,
I mean, anyway. So did you look into it? I'm just, right now, I'm looking at it. There appears, you type in Misfortune Mysteries, and there appears to be, you know, what I can find is Gianna De Leon. I mean, they take place in Louisiana. You know, there's gators and garters. Some of them have fortune, funhouse, change of fortune, bullets and beads. So that's this? They have thousands of reviews. There's 23
okay.
books in the series.
How did she lose the series then?
I don't know. The covers are a touch more professional than this one.
Okay, yeah. I didn't look too hard into it. I just like, oh, yeah, there is a series. Hook, Line, and Blinker. Later, Gator.
Yeah, Swamp Team 3 instead of SEAL Team 6.
Oh, wait. But she's got one in 2022. Flame and Fortune.
So this... But what? Then there, you scroll down far enough, and there's Riley Blake's Misfortune World.
What?
Misfortune World as opposed to a Misfortune Mystery. So what? Misfortune World is up to book 12 at least.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
How can you have... You have two series.
Riley
what is the difference between World and Mystery?
Bayou Turkey Shoot is... is quite the departure in the cover art department. That says, the Bayou Cozy Romantic Thrills series was written for those who have read, at minimum, the first two books in the original Misfortune series by Gianna De Leon. The holiday-themed short stories stick with the key characters introduced in the first two novels in hopes that anyone will be able to follow along. So did she just jack the whole thing?
I don't know.
Fascinating.
Do these... authors kind of give each other IP? Like, you want to do some misfortunes? Call it Misfortune World, and I'll and I'll do the grannies at the, you know, the sleuth and grannies?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, then there's Three Blind Mice, A Misfortune World by Aunt Tilly. That is clearly Riley Blake if you look at the...
Wait, Aunt, she's using a different pseudonym. But is that in the Misfortune World? What did you call it?
Yeah, that's Misfortune World. There's a little box in the bottom left corner that says Misfortune World on the cover of Christmas in the Bayou.
Oh, wow.
But then Misfortune World by Auntie Blake, which includes Pirate Booty, Three Ring Circus, Three Blind Mice, and Jambalaya, spelled wrong, is also part of the series, but written by Aunt Tilly. So like
what is going on? Who knew?
A regional snack food magnate like Aunt Tilly's old time Gator Jamboree kettle chips. Oh, wait. J.K. Bowen normally writes fan fiction in Gianna De Leon's hilarious Misfortune series using the pen name Aunt Tilly. I use Aunt Tilly when I'm in the mood to be a little old gray-haired lady who's afraid of spiders. He says his home is in Middle Tennessee and he loves old cars and puppy dogs.
Son of a... What is happening here?
I don't know. So he has a website, J.K. Bowen. So it's like 50 Shades of Grey. It started off as Twilight fanfic. This is insane.
I don't even know how to hold this all in my head. Like, are these sanctioned by Gianna De Leon?
I mean, it says fanfiction, but he's selling them.
You can't take someone's
IP. I know.
IP.
It sounds wildly infringing.
So if I looked up... If I really wanted to get to the bottom of this, I guess I'd have to go to book one of the Misfortune series to figure out, is she a CIA agent?
Yeah.
Is she in a small town? What is happening?
It says that you need to read at least the first two books. So, but yeah, these appear to be just fan fiction that they're selling on Amazon with this other wildly popular series.
So you think Riley Blake is just fanfic?
There's another guy, there's another guy named Stephen John who's written three books in the Misfortune World series. So maybe
Oh, my God.
Maybe she said, once you're, you know, if you're doing this, put Misfortune World on it. And, like, I'll allow that, sort of just like...
Wow. Oh, okay, so Flame and Fortune... Sorry, we're figuring this out as we go, folks. Flame and Fortune, book 22, Amazon. Guess how many reviews?
That's five. Authentic misfortune?
This is Yana or Jana de Leon. Okay.
I would say 4,700.
7,568 five-star reviews.
Oh, so it buries everything. So, yeah, I think that there's just some sort of... you know, arrangement going on. If you go to Jana De Leon's page, it's like, if you're going to write Misfortune fanfic, here's what I want you to do. You put this logo on the thing. You sell it for only $2.99. Insane.
It is insane. Oh, wow. Okay. Just looking at the reviews for this. Fortune, Ida Bell, and Gertie, their detective agency investigate. So there's the, there's a sinful, yeah, sinful New Orleans. Yeah, okay, so all the characters. So I was just supposed to know everything about them in order to read this book.
Okay.
That's the point. I should have had all of this already in my head. The library has probably already been sketched out.
Yeah, the Jana De Leon provides maps in her books, the like George R. R. Martin. Here's a Sherry Hearn is another Misfortune World author. God. She's written Sinful Stories, Sinful Past, Sinful Spirits. And Merlin's Misfortune. So Merlin, like any terrible series, Merlin's going to show up at some point in time. We've learned that at Rift Tracks. But she says, what is Misfortune? She has an FAQ. What is Misfortune World? Misfortune World is a series of books published by J&R Fanfiction, which is owned by Jana De Leon. These stories are set in the world of Jana De Leon's Misfortune mystery series. The next question is, does Jana De Leon allow you to write them? Yes, indeed she does. Misfortune World started as an offering in Amazon's Kindle Worlds program, wherein writers were allowed to use Misfortune characters and create their own stories. When Amazon discontinued the program, Jana De Leon published them herself and allowed a small number of authors to continue offering new stories under the Misfortune World banner. I'm one of those lucky authors. Pretty cool, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure Jana De Leon was being super discriminating when it came to the...
I don't think she was really...
lucky authors were allowed to continue offering these.
Wow. Okay, I am at... finally found book one, because there is literally... It looks like just thousands of Misfortune we have wandered into. Apparently, this is like one-tenth of the internet. The rest of it being porn. This is the other 10.
Well, there's probably a healthy part of it that's Misfortune erotica, too. So
sure,
that,
sorry.
That's, yes. That's the Venn diagram overlap.
This is book one, Louisiana Long Shot, A Misfortune Mystery. And this is 17,380 4.5 star ratings.
Mother of God.
So a gigantic hit, I'm guessing. Oh, okay. Here we have Geritol Mafia, Fortune, CIA. All right. Yeah. I was supposed to know all of this.
Yeah. I guess that's the, that's probably why she just thrust you into the middle of it, is because it'd be insane for you to read if it was not, if you were not up on these, this world.
Handsome local deputy. Yeah. He only became handsome in the last page of the book for me. So.
I like the blurbs that are given to it. They're the type of blurb. I mean, you've given blurbs. I have too, where you clearly have not read the thing and just need to come up with something that works as a blurb. Southern wit at its best, sinfully funny. It's like, will that work? And then this one's really good. If you like Janet Evanovich's Stephanie Plum series, you'll love Misfortune. All right, there we go.
Another insane Dennis Miller thing.
This one says it has the flavor of miscongeniality, but it's much more than that. So I guess that's probably what it's being based on. Isn't that, I mean, that's the gist of that, right?
Yeah, I've never seen it, but yes. Okay, there you go. Wow. That's the trail back to it.
Crazy. Well, that's a crazy thing to unearth live on the air.
Yeah, well, we unlocked the secret of it. I'm sure everyone who knew about it and listening to me, you're going to describe that book? Oh, my God. You should have read all 22 of the original and then jump over to the fanfic. Yes.
This is going to be our next 10-parter. My God.
All right, well, I've learned never to do that again. Jump into a fanfic and expect to be treated well as a reader.
Well, I hope the next... the next chapter in the thing is about a hospital bombing that turns out that someone like photobombed someone as they were leaving the walking out of the hospital one day. That'll sell it just as well. Wow.
Burned down the children's hospital. It was an abandoned children's hospital. And, it was burnt down for hygienic reasons.
Some guy roasted it at a comedy thing. Yeah. He really burned it.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I guess that's the second fanfic we've covered, though, because My Immortal was a Twilight fanfic.
Yeah. So. Yep.
I don't know if this even lives up to that level, but...
It is one of the worst reading experiences I've ever had.
Sure.
I don't know, Riley Blake, if you're out there, come on, man. Give some more clues.
Right, and it might
reader.
Be a man, as we've seen that the Aunt Tilly is also is a man writing his books. But I think that having read her other book, the Christmas Presents Retirement Center Cozy Mystery, we know that it's not just because we haven't read all 22 books of the Miss Fortune World series, since that was pretty much identical to the way that those were presented.
Yeah, and maybe this must be the way fanfic is presented, too. Like, don't give me any extraneous things. I know who these people are. Uh-huh. Just give me them going to a library and pumping shotgun shots down the hall. I don't want anything extra. I don't have the time.
Yes. I am a busy, sassy old person.
That's right. Or I pretend to be an old person, an old granny sometimes.
Wow.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
I did my extraneous reading.
Taking a bullet in a school library for the team here.
Yes, of course.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I think that'll probably be... let's give away our super constitutions. Can we do that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Email 372pages@gmail.com. Put Super Constitution Giveaway in the subject line, and we'll pick two winners to receive that the most valuable book in the history of the podcast that we'll sign for you.
I'll be sad to see it go because I think it's sitting in my in an area where guests sometimes just pick it up randomly and go, Mike? Like, yeah, it's too long to explain. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I'll... Leave it in the bathroom. That'd be a fun thing for people to come out of there like, I have to go. I can't explain why.
All right. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, everybody.
Regular stuff coming soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.